call the December 2nd Common Council meeting to order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson.
Here.
Alderman Dandria.
Here.
Alderman Mayer.
Present.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderwoman Evans.
Here.
Alderman Schmidt.
Present.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Here.
We have a properly noticed in a quorum. Please rise and join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item A, we did call the roll, and we do have a quorum and a properly noticed meeting. Item B1, citizen comment period. Any citizen wishing to speak on any matter, I do remind you that we will have that public hearing. Mr. Lasek, you know the routine.
Jim Lasek, 8756 West Mallard Court. I come before you to ask the city to take into consideration quite a few things that I'm going to bring up to you. First of all, we've got Ken Skoransky in our own city. Could we get him to have the state install ramps on 27th and the County Line Road? And that would be an off-ramp eastbound and an on-ramp northbound on 94, 27th and County Line Road. That will open up the southeast corner of our city more and make it more accessible to traffic, to trucking companies or whatever. Secondly, I'd like the city to make sure that they get all their infrastructures in before they start forming any areas like more industrial parks or more businesses and stuff like that. In the meantime, and I know a lot of people are going to balk at this, in the meantime, while all of this is going on, I would suggest that we install sports complexes for our young children. Parents are starting to hate to have to, and grandparents, to have to drive their kids to other cities in order to just get practice time in. And it's not one day a week. It's 3 and 4 days a week. And then to go to other cities to have to play games. Look what Muskego's doing. Their whole downtown is starting to grow because they installed that new softball complex. And I'm not only talking softball. I'm talking tennis courts. I'm talking baseball. I'm talking soccer fields. Tennis courts, install the whole thing, and don't do it small. Do it big enough so we can become a softball or a tennis or whatever you want, a sports city. Then we can get sports stores like Burkhart's to move down here and also get some sports industries in here, like ones that make baseballs and lacrosse stuff and basketballs and tennis stuff. And you could put that in the industrial park. Sports is a thing that's going to be around forever. People don't realize this. It's here to stay. Children love to play it, and parents love to take their kids. But if they've got to travel to other cities and other areas to do it, they're not going to keep it up, and we're going to lose out. We have a nice feeder program for the football team. Why can't we have all these feeder programs for all of our other sports teams? Then we could also encourage, like, uniform stores to move in, silk screening stores and stuff like that. After all of that's in, you watch. Your restaurants will come in and your another motel or two will come in. And by restaurants, another thing. Let's not get another Applebee's or something here. There's chain restaurants down south. Let me name just two of them. One's called Bob Evans and another one's called Cheddar's. And both of them are very nice restaurants. Could get them to move in over here someplace if we do this right. And they're all around sports complex down south, but you don't see them up here. But we could have it. 94 is beautiful for us, but we don't have the complete access on 27th Street. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lysak. Anyone else wishing to speak? Please give us your name and address.
Brian Hillstrom, 6544 West River Point Drive. I'll be brief. I grew up in a city of Manitowoc the size of Franklin, about 35,000 people. In the 1980s, we had everything. We had a field house. We had baseball diamonds, softball diamonds, nice tennis courts, all that. My kids, I've got two kids that have played basketball or play basketball. We don't have adequate facilities. I've got an 11-year-old that's practicing at 8:30 on a Friday night. Both my kids are, one will be a freshman in high school playing tennis this spring. My fifth grader will want to play high school tennis. Tonight, Dave Bartels, Ruzica Bartoszewicz are here. In my years in the business world, my bosses have always told me, if you got an issue with something, you don't like something, whatever it is, make a recommendation. They're here tonight to make a recommendation to improve the community for us as citizens, for our kids, for people that want to move into Franklin. So I just ask tonight that you support what they are here to recommend. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak? Nico Pete.
Good evening. Pete Kostovich, 8170 South 28th Street in Franklin here. The reason I'm here tonight is an article in the Now last week caught my attention regarding this apartment complex that's opposed for 51st and Cobblestone. 12-plus years ago, I became involved in Franklin because there appeared to be a dysfunctional common council. And I'm worried about that happening again. So I'm here tonight to observe what's going on, what the discussions are, and if there's a need to proceed with any further actions. But I'm mostly here to observe and try and help do what's best for Franklin. Thank you.
Anyone else wish to speak? Anyone else? Seeing no one else, I'll close the citizen comment.
Tom Taylor, 7014 Elroy Court. I'm here to speak in opposition to the apartment proposal that's on your agenda for tonight. For as many years as I can remember, we have done just about everything we possibly can to try and prevent apartments from coming into Franklin. My years of being on the council tell me or have informed me that apartments are contrary to going towards the 70-30 formula. In fact, apartments go just take you in the opposite direction of where this council has directed as far as going for a $328 million project development. I think there's a public hearing on this, so I plan on speaking at the public hearing against it as well, but I would urge all of my colleagues, my former colleagues, and a new alderman to vote against this proposal.
Anyone else? Seeing that I already closed the comment period.
Orville Seamer, 3020 West Acre Avenue. Just a very pleasant comment. I've made a number of open records requests over the last several months. I'm having difficulty getting the records. If some are month and a half, two, or older. And the Attorney General has said 10 to 14 days is a reasonable period of time to fulfill an open records request. It is well past those dates. Maybe we can get the city clerk and city attorney together to get that done. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Well, I'm Gail Champion. I'm not a resident of Franklin. I coach the boys' tennis team at Franklin High School. We started the program back in 2003 and have been very successful. We've been operating a no-cut policy, which is what the USDA enjoys us to do because we don't want to discourage players from playing tennis because it's a lifetime sport. And we've been making do with the courts at Tuckaway, which are really becoming hazardous. I don't know what their plan is there. It doesn't seem like tennis courts are necessarily in the immediate future. We've also been at Village Club for home matches, and that's been a little disjointed because they're resurfacing. So last year they resurfaced the back, and this year they're resurfacing the front. So those are our options, and I thought we've handled it very well. I think when tennis came about, we didn't think that we would be starting our 13th year, and we haven't seen really any action regarding tennis courts. The girls' team, I don't coach the girls, but I know that the girls' team also has between 45 and 60 girls out for tennis running no cut. So basically, we're running three different teams, and five courts is just pretty tight. You don't get a lot of hits when you're standing in line a lot. So I just wanted to speak on the behalf of really the two coaching staffs that, you know, we'd appreciate you considering getting courts together on one property of land. A lot of schools have six courts. The common thing today is eight courts to enable us to host meets and to have practice there. And, you know, of course, the community would be able to use them as well. But something to consider anyway. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Rosita Bartasevich, 8324 South 68th Street. And in addition to the comments and the support for not only high school, I want to certainly make sure that the recommendation that we are making for aggregated courts in the community is not solely an arm of something for providing for student needs. It is to provide for community needs. Franklin, as based on all of the information that has already been provided to all of the members here, is sorely lacking in the number of courts available to all citizens within the community. We're talking about children as young as 4 and 5 years old who begin to play the sport, on to adults who are able to play as long as they can into their 70s and some into their 80s. This is truly a project for the entire community. It is not something that in any way, shape, or form should only be viewed as something to provide for the athletes at the high school. While certainly they are part of the community and it would offer them to have a place to be able to actually play within the community, it is certainly not exclusively for them. It is for the community. It is for Franklin citizens. And I ask that you please consider working together with the school district and with other entities and look forward to solving this problem finally. It's something that has been requested repeatedly and is documented in the Comprehensive Outdoor Recreation Plan as something that is one of the most commonly requested things from citizens within this community. They want tennis courts. And I would like there to be some sort of action plan that is put together. Hopefully things will be recommended to move forward with this tonight, but to truly once and for all solve for this deficit in this community, because we truly are an outlier among all communities surrounding us.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak? Go ahead, Jim.
Just one more thing. I know these two ladies were talking about tennis courts. I think it should be all sports in general, because we have children that want to play soccer, want to play hardball, want to play softball, want to play lacrosse, and they don't have the facilities in this within this city to do that, and nice facilities, not only tennis. So let's consider them all the sports, basketball too. Build an indoor basketball court someplace where they can practice it. We don't have the facilities, period.
Thank you, Jim. Anyone else? Seeing no one else, I will again close the citizen comment period. All right, item B2, mayoral announcements, tree lighting ceremonies. There's a little conflict in times, but it starts at 4:30 at the library on Sunday afternoon. You're all welcome. Caroling starts at 5, and the tree lighting is shortly thereafter, so you're all welcome. Item C, approval of the November 18th Common Council meeting.
So moved to approve.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Item D1, we previously announced and opened a public hearing on 2 weeks ago on the ordinance to amend the Comprehensive Master Plan. I remind everybody that the public hearing is about the Master Plan amendment, so that hearing is now reconvened. Anyone wishing to speak on the Comprehensive Master Plan for Burke Properties? Anyone wishing to speak?
Are you asking for somebody from Burke Properties and then for other people? Are you asking?
This is a public hearing, so anyone wishing to speak? Mr. Bhaskar.
Okay. Madhav Bhaskar, 4990 West Cardinal Lane, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132. Just before the meeting, I gave you guys two documents. One is with the highlights. One is the Franklin Unified Development Ordinance. This is a legal document. This is what you have to abide by, because this is the law. You know, Mayor talks about law. So I underline only three or four important things. One is it talks about shall not have an undue construction. I highlighted these apartments are on the east side. Just west side is another apartment building. So if that is not undue concentration, I don't know what else could be considered as undue concentration. This is right from the ordinance. Second, stabilize and protect existing and potential property values. Apartments increases or keeps the property value same is unheard of. Third, character of existing development. The entire development, existing development there is either all development, existing development there is owned by people, all of us. Apartments are not owned by people. Apartments are owned by wealthy individuals or corporation, in this case, that entity. So again, dead against the legal document. Number four, preserve and protect the beauty of the city of Franklin. I don't have to tell you that. And number five, protect the traffic capacity of existing and proposed arterial streets, highways, collector's street. I don't think anybody has done any study, survey, assessment of that. I'm not aware of anything. Nobody has paid attention to that. These are the legal requirements. And the second one is right from today's big, thick parcels you got, the ordinance number 2014-, the highlighted section is, whereas the Common Council have considered the application and having concurred with recommendation of the Planning Commission and having determined that proposed amendment to Plan Development District number 25 is consistent with the 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan of City of Franklin, and that it will promote the health, safety and welfare of the community. Neither in Franklin or Timbuktu, Africa, anybody can say the apartment complex promotes the health, safety and welfare of the community. This basic blush test you cannot pass. This is right in the agenda, is written. That is the agenda. Promote the health, safety and welfare of the community. It couldn't be further from the truth. The next quickly I want to talk about it is, once something is built, you cannot change. So think carefully when you vote. We have given you many compelling reasons over the past two. The reasons beyond doubt show that this apartment project is a lose-lose situation for city and community and neighborhoods. Those who believe this project benefits the community, neighborhood, or city has not given one solid reason, not even one. I have not heard a single reason from anybody, except a half-hearted assessor memo circulated just few minutes before the November 20 Planning Commission meeting, whose language is inconclusive with no data. More importantly, that is even not the benefit of the project, that is merely a damage control. Remember, assessor's memo is not a benefit, it's a damage control. Damage control done poorly against the opposition. That's it. It's not a benefit. It's just a damage control. Think about that. And I fully agree, but he has every right to build as per the plan. But they need to build what is there in the plan, not contrary to the master plan. Now, after the fact, you simply cannot change the master plan to suit one entity's future profit at the expense and negative impact to many entities, many of us, hundreds and hundreds of us. They should be welcome to build what is in the current master plan, plain and simple. What is in the current master plan? Build it. Those are it. Instead, City Planning Commission in hurriedly voted to amend the master plan on November 20th. Think about it. No data, no independent assessment, no impact on community resources were presented or discussed in the meeting. We could have pointed that out, but we were silenced. Just again think about it. If a project has an impact on the community or neighborhood like this one, why will you not hear from us before you seal our fate? Is that the leadership we want? It's a question of leadership. Will you silence us on a technicality that we are not allowed to speak in the Common Council when it impacts hundreds of us? Hundreds of us. The main reason was given for the amendment to the master plan was assumption that a mistake was made and that the land was supposed to be multi-family and not single family. Really? In 2009, when master plan was amended, a required carefully review was given and was approved by the Common Council. So you cannot just say that this is done. And also, let's hypothetically assume that mistakes were made. But the fact is, we bought our houses based upon that presumed mistake. and you cannot undo the thing by going back in time. Like Superman movie where Clark rotates the earth in opposite direction. Can you do that? You cannot. We have built our houses. If you change the fundamental character of the land use in a negative direction from ownership to the apartments where renting, meaning from own apartment to rental property, it has negative impact on us and on Franklin. Without doubt in anybody's mind. Should not have any doubt in your mind. Also during the meeting, Mayor Olson asked a question with a concern to all. In general question he asked, why in the bracket or who will build houses in the middle of the condominium? Since we are not allowed to speak, otherwise the answer is extremely simple. Extremely simple. Why not? A developer with city's approval is doing exactly that, building houses and condominium next to each other, just 1 mile, 1 mile north of this parcel on Pews Road. Same can be easily happened here. Again, distinguished committee member, just think about what I presented to you. On one hand, a concerned community with hundreds of Franklin citizens who have given you compelling reasons regarding the negative impacts on everyone. On other hand, you have one entity who has not given any data or assessment about benefits of this project. And the city, instead of objectively trying to find out or verify what hundreds of us are saying, and objectively assessing the situation, chose to concentrate on one and only one thing, the perceived mistake city planning manager made. And now let's correct those mistakes, regardless of what happens to the surrounding neighborhood. So when you vote today, just ask a question to yourself. If hundreds of us are even 30 to 40% right, not 100%, 30 to 40% right, can you offer to vote yes? Can you offer to vote yes? Because what we said becomes true, then the entire neighborhood is permanently and negatively impacted. Is that the morally right thing to do? Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Mascar. Anyone else wishing to speak? And I remind everybody there's a 3-minute limit. Anyone else? Mr. Taylor.
Tom Taylor, 7014 Elroy Court, Franklin. I read in the paper, and sometimes the paper gets things wrong occasionally, but some sort of a mistake occurred. I'm here tonight to say that at my direction, I asked the planning staff when I was the mayor of the city to have CDs prepared for all the aldermen and myself, listing the update of the comprehensive master plan, Tickner report, and there were two other documents on it. This is the document that I have in my possession, and I believe this is the document that was sent out to all of the aldermen. And as part of that document, the comprehensive master plan, this is the map that I printed out on my own computer. And in this map, I don't see any mistake at all. And when the council had this, had these documents, and they voted on this map. They voted on the contents that were contained on this disk. And based on that, and the fact that I and many of my previous colleagues were vehemently against apartments because apartments exasperate the 70-30 formula, I'm urging this council not to vote for these apartments.
Thank you.
Brian Grando, 9231 South 54th Street. Mayor Olson and alderpersons, the mayor ended the last Planning Commission meeting by asking Burke Properties to explain a page on their website that indicated that the apartment complex is moving forward. The mayor explained that this web page created a lack of credibility for the Planning Commission and City Council. I would agree that hundreds of Franklin residents are questioning the credibility of the city on this matter, but I believe that Burke's testing of a marketing website is the least of the issues at hand. I cannot fault Burke Properties for making the same assumptions that hundreds of residents are making, that this project is being fast-tracked to approval with no real intent to evaluate long-term impact on residents of Franklin and no desire to consider denying it to move forward. During the last Planning Commission, the first question asked was regarding amending the comprehensive plan to change the designated area from residential single-family to multifamily. The mayor made an overly simplistic assumption that no one ever believed that this area was designated as single family and that other local ordinances conflicted with the comprehensive plan. Therefore, no one should expect that the comprehensive plan is accurate and no one should object to this being changed.
I disagree with this, as a significant number of individuals have stated that they looked at the plan, made decisions on the plan, had faith in the plan, as a state government mandated document that citizens should be able to believe is credible. Further, these citizens expected that if this discrepancy between a state mandated document and local government documents, that the state mandated document would prevail. The discrepancies between the comprehensive plan and city plans were then explained away as a series of repeated errors made by staff members over multiple years, with the reporting staff member claiming that one of the errors was an honest error. I do not believe that his comment regarding an honest error was a statement that he thought the other errors were dishonest. I took it to mean that he was acknowledging that so many errors had occurred that he would need to classify some as more serious than others. As the Planning Commission progressed, heavy reliance was placed on the opinion of staff with little explanation or comment on detail. I do not see how the citizens of Franklin should expect to have much confidence in brief statements of opinions of staff members that have omitted repeated mistakes and oversights. I would therefore ask that you deny the amendment to reclassify the designated area from single family to multifamily, as a significant number of residents have relied on the accuracy of this document. Further, city staff members and property owners let this classification remain on the plans for over 10 years. I believe that any changes from single family to multifamily would at a minimum require this list be listed as a major amendment, which would allow public hearings on the issue. If this were to move forward, I would expect that staff members would be required to give detailed explanations of their opinion on their belief that these changes would have no impact on the adjacent neighborhoods and the city as a whole. There is no other way for the citizens of Franklin to be able to place any credibility on this process. Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to speak? Mr. Smith. You don't need to be called on, you just need to get up.
Steve Smith, Stephen Chris Smith Architects. I'm the architect for the project. Address is 215 North Water Street, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. There's been a lot of discussion about this project. Having been involved with initial plans for the project back in 1998, I would like to remind this council that the project as originally conceived and approved by the Common Council at that point in time was 288 apartment units with a network of roads that was, again, part of the master plan that had been approved. There have been numerous revisions to that plan over the last years, the most recent of which I believe is in 2006, which reduced that initial density from 288 units down to 253 units. The current plan that's proposed has reduced that density substantially. More specifically, we're proposing right now 109 units, which in addition to the existing 106 units, which in addition to the 109 units would be 215 units, which is a 26% reduction. Actually, if we implement the suggestions by the Planning Commission on the last meeting, which reduced the density of that north parcel, that number would reduce even further. The plan that we proposed, frankly, is a substantial improvement to that which was originally approved by this by the previous administration. By that I mean that not only has the density been substantially decreased, but also the green space ratio has improved significantly. We've eliminated road networks. We've eliminated multiple building footprints. To develop a plan, I'd be more than happy to do a presentation to this council if need be to show everyone the change in plan. But it is a significant departure and a significant improvement on that which was previously approved. Burke Properties has the right to develop this property. Whether there is a mistake made on the comprehensive plan, the reality is the zoning for PDD 25 allowed for 253 units. And actually, the number has changed. But despite that, I think the big concern that I'm hearing from a lot of the neighbors are, in fact, the whole concept of apartments. We have a gentleman here who is a consultant for Burke Properties who is very well experienced in what's happened in the marketplace, especially in the last 10 years, and especially since the Great Recession or crash of the economy. That's Blair Williams. I'd like for Blair to come up and at least talk about his experience that would maybe alleviate some of the concerns but enlighten this council as to the nature. Apartments are not what they're being viewed as. And I'd like for Blair, if he would be so kind, to get up and at least speak to this council. And then I'd make myself available to any questions that this council may have or the audience may have with regard to the architecture. The plan is a good one. The product we're proposing is a high-quality architecture that is of a comparable quality to any of the condominiums or custom homes that you see. But I'll let Blair focus on the market right now. Thank you very much.
Name and address, please, sir.
Blair Williams, 2237 North Lake Drive, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I am president of a company called Wired Properties, and we are a consultant and a real estate developer. I heard a comment that I think is compelling. Previous speakers said that apartments aren't owned by people. They're owned by companies, and they're owned by corporations. While that may be technically true, homes are often owned by family trusts and by other entities. I think it's very important to recognize the level of investment that Burke Properties has made in Franklin to date, and in fact, the investment it owns today. Burke owns 14 units at this time in the condominium development next door. Represents an investment of approximately $2 million. And Burke is keenly interested in protecting and enhancing that investment. So the question is, why apartments and not condominiums? The simple answer is that the world has changed. Yesterday's condo buyers, in many respects, are today's renters. And there's lots of reasons for that, and the details in that statement matter a lot. Consider a number of key demographic realities. The total number of middle-aged households, 35 to 64, outnumbers the number of younger households, 3 to 1. Over 8,000 people per day are turning 65, and those folks are living longer today than they have in generations past. The Great Recession meaningfully changed consumer preferences and liquidity and the way consumers view home ownership today. Home ownership peaked at approximately 70% nationally immediately before the recession. It's expected to settle at approximately 62%. What we know is that with a growing population, which we have, that is a lot more renters than we've had in the past. So the Great Recession very simply just changed the way we look at home ownership. You learn that home ownership is not a sure source of wealth, and in fact, we could lose money in the process. We learn that our lives are subject to change. We learn that flexibility and liquidity matter a lot. So some things didn't change. We expect to live in a home that suits our lifestyle. We expect to live in a home with high quality. We demand value, and we want to live in communities and neighborhoods that offer that value. In the past 12 months, 15 condos have sold in Autumn Ridge and Woodland Trails. Average sale price of about $166,000. A buyer may need 20% of that down, or $33,000. Their mortgage, $675. Their condo association fees, $225. Property taxes, $375. Insurance, their monthly costs are going to be approximately $1,375 a month, $1,350 a month. The average rents proposed at Burke's development are $1,375 a month. It's right on the indifference line between ownership and renting. But one of the things that we know is that that liquidity matters. These apartments are not inexpensive, they are not low value, and in fact, they are not reducing the value of the condominiums in the neighborhood. To the contrary, they are enhancing the value of those condominiums. If Burke were to build condominiums here, as is being suggested by many of the speakers, they would need to be priced to be competitive to the product that's already existing in the market. They would necessarily compete with the existing condominiums, but they would be brand new. In addition to Burke's own condos, there are an additional 18 units of condos rented in the community. Those rentals have no management and no professional management. Indeed, the condominium market has still not absorbed the previous units developed at this location. To place further pressure on that market would not only diminish the value of Burke's significant investment in the condominiums they still own, but would place downward pressure on the market and the prices of the existing condominiums. Finally, I believe strongly that it is in the city of Franklin's best interest to support and encourage high-end apartment developments like those proposed at Hickory Grove. The millennials don't live in the suburbs in great numbers right now, but they will. But we don't expect the millennials will be the residents moving into Hickory Grove. Communities need young families to help the city grow, evolve, and remain vibrant. To use the sports facilities proposed so eloquently tonight. Like many of its peers, Franklin has many aging-in-place empty nesters. Consider that as long as these folks remain in their homes, new families cannot move to Franklin and enjoy its many amenities. But by creating new condominium alternative, high-quality housing within the community the residents already love, those empty nester residents will have a new and compelling option, freeing their homes for the next generation. And this is the type of turnover that keeps communities vibrant. We are very pleased, and Burke is very pleased, to continue to work with staff to make Hickory Grove every bit the quality development that it can be. And we believe that it will add tremendous value to Burke, to the city, and to the stakeholders in the neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Taylor.
Thank you, Your Honor. Steve Taylor, 2812 West Hilltop Lane. After the last two speakers, I'm not sure where to begin. First off, talking about something that happened 15 years ago, approvals that happened 15 years ago that have been changed since that time, I think are irrelevant, all right? Now, I've heard from a few speakers tonight, and I've listened to the tapes of the prior meetings, that there was mistakes made for the Comprehensive Master Plan. Well, let me tell you, for 6 years I served this district. For 6 years, I know these people, I represent these people. So when the master plan was being discussed, this went on for years. We had dozens of meetings, public hearings. A mistake was not made, all right? I didn't miss it. The former mayor didn't miss it. This was not a mistake. We left it single family for a reason. These people bought these condos knowing they were going to be condos added eventually, not apartments. These are, for some of them, and for many people, their home is their biggest asset, their largest asset they'll ever have. And to pull the rug out from underneath them and allow apartments to be built is wrong. It's absolutely wrong. Now, I've also listened to the minutes and the tapes of Plan Commission meeting. So I hope tonight that you will listen to what every resident that has a stake at this involved, what they have to say, whether it's 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, because the way they were treated at the Plan Commission is absolutely disrespectful. Under Tom Taylor, under Fred Clements, they always suspended the rules, always allowed for public discussion. And when Alderman Mayer made a motion to suspend the rules, didn't even get a second. So we're going to ignore, we're going to play this as either a minor amendment or a major amendment. It doesn't matter. You need to listen to these people because they're paying attention. I'm paying attention. So listen carefully what they have to say. But remember, when they bought these condos, they were told what was coming next, and that was condos and not apartments. And I'm sorry if staff has fallen on the sword that the mistake was made, but it wasn't.
Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, sir. Good evening.
Kim Captain, 9349 South Cobblestone Way. I'm one of the neighbors in the area. I've heard a lot of comments about this. I know there's a lot of emotional feelings, and I'm also one of those people that spent time thinking very carefully about where I wanted to live, and I chose Franklin, and I chose those condos, and I chose it for a number of reasons. And I was presented all the glossy brochures that did describe the same thing everyone else is saying. They had expectations that it was going to be a very nice community, a high-level standard of architecture and buildings. For the most part, the condos that we bought meet those, but what I'm seeing is a difference between really what they're saying is proposed and what I'm seeing is what it looks like is actually happening. When I look at what the real concerns are, people try to get down to the very basics of why does it even matter? When you think about apartments and versus condos, when you're an apartment owner, there's no ownership. I mean, on the part of the people that live there. The people tend to not follow rules the same way. I mean, I think we've seen over and over again in history, and that's why people are so careful in considering this, is that it usually means a degradation of their standard of living that they expect in their own community and their neighborhood. That's why they're concerned. There's usually an increased level of crime. That's their basic concern. Those two things, I think, is what's driving all of this. So to see that have even a chance of degrading is what I think concerns most everyone that's here. They want to preserve that any way they can. Now, I also understand we need growth. We need development. There's a lot of good things that can happen with the growth and development. But I would urge the council, please, at least if they're going to consider this and actually pass something, to put a little bit more stricter controls on it and make sure that the level of these buildings that are being built are at least at the same level or better than what's previously there. And I don't believe, based on what I've seen so far, that that's really true as far as what they're proposing. Most all the new things that were developed in the last 10 years in that area is all condos with two-car garages. That sounds like a minor thing, but it brings a certain type of people in that have more ownership, and now we're talking not even one car attached to all the apartments. So to me, that's not an increase. That's a decrease. That's degradation. Number of units in a building, I think that was something the mayor brought up in the planning commission. I mean, eight is a big building, eight units in one. That would certainly be a maximum, if not six. So I would encourage at least to look at some of those standards to say, okay, it's nice that, like, they made a big deal about it's going to be stone instead of some sort of other kind of material on the face of it. Well, that's nice. I'm sure from an architect standpoint that might be a nice thing to have in a building, but some of the very basic living standards I think is what we need to look at, and if we pass anything, at least carefully consider those no more than six or eight units, two-car attached garage with every unit, something that at least meets all the standards of everything else that's been built there in the last 10 years. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else? Jessica
Kent, 5495 West Cobblestone Way, Unit C. Mayor Olson, alderpersons, I'm just going to speak quickly to a main point my neighbors have failed to touch upon, and that's the natural resource issue. As documented by regional botany and planning experts, the woodlands in our association, Woodland Trails, were one of only 3% of its kind in Franklin in 1989. Since that time, one half of that 3% has been encroached upon or eliminated, leaving only 1.5% of woodlands of its kind. I recognize these woodlands as character and beauty to our city, and I feel that it's obviously a good reason to keep the plans as they were written and not amend them as requested to keep the woodlands in place. On a more technical note, pursuant to Section 15-9-0209 of the Franklin Unified Development Ordinance and Chapter 62, Section 2372M, in case of a protest against an amendment proposed under Subsection 2, duly signed and acknowledged by the owners of 20% or more either of the areas of the land included in such proposed amendment or by the owners of 20% or more of the area of the land immediately adjacent extending 100 feet therefrom, or by the owners of 20% or more of the land directly opposite thereto extending 100 feet from the street frontage of such opposite land, such amendment shall not become effective except by the favorable vote of 3/4 of the members of the council voting on the proposed change. I will present you shortly, clerk, with signed petitions of 58% of the owners of Woodland Trails, Autumn Ridge, and Cardinal Heights, 124 of the 214 owners. Obviously, the residents and people most adversely affected by this proposed development object to it and protest it. Please take these petitions into consideration when voting on this matter, as I believe city and state law dictate that you do. Thank you.
Well, let's not do that. Thank you. They'll be received. Anyone else wishing to speak? Mr. Seamer.
Orville Seamer, 3020 West Acre Avenue. Many of you know I've been in the apartment and property management business for 26 years. I, at one point in my life, was the president of the Apartment Association of Southeast Wisconsin. Prior to that, I was the legislative chairman. Back in the late 90s, I was part of the ad hoc committee at the state level. We wrote the state landlord-tenant laws. So I am very, very familiar with landlords, tenants, and how tenants operate. I regularly talk to landlords across the state. Problems they're having with tenants and so on and so forth. And, I am strongly opposed to any kind of apartment development in Franklin. I've lived here for 38 years. We live in a relatively crime-free part of the state. I regularly look at the in the Franklin newspaper. I look at all the crime stats. And, you know, most of the crime is centered around Walmart, some around the high school, very few around single-family owner-occupied homes. I see the police chief is sitting here. I'm sure he would tell you that most crime occurs in Franklin in apartment complexes. And I know he came here from Milwaukee, and I'm sure that he would tell you that most crime in Milwaukee occurs in apartment dwellers' homes. So based on those things, I think that you should turn this proposal back. I know I've sat through a number of these meetings. I was at the Planning Commission meeting last Thursday when the developer and the architect gave a very fine presentation. I mean, they're very knowledgeable people. I don't want to criticize them, but let's face it, it'll probably be fine for the first 5 years. If you approve this and it's actually built, it'll probably be fine. It'll be a nice development. But little bitty things happen. After the first 5-6 years, little things start to happen, and the project starts to deteriorate. After 10 years, it really starts going downhill quickly. You get drug dealers. You get people who are just undesirable people. It you know, for the first couple of years, it'll be fine. But after that, it starts going downhill very quickly. So based on those things, I would ask you to deny this proposal. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Seaver. Anyone else? Anyone else? Okay, seeing no one else, with everybody's permission, I'll close the public comment period. Thank you very much. Let's go on to our business. Item E1, presentation by...
I have some questions.
Yeah, Alderman Wilhelm.
What does the signatures mean when she said 3/4 for votes to us? Is that by, or could you... at least let us know what.
Well, in order to be legal, we need to check these against the assessment rolls. So it would be my intention to
yes.
So this would only apply to the master plan amendment, which is item.
Wait, sorry, Mayor.
Yes, sir.
I haven't seen the petition, so I want to look at it, and staff has to determine whether or not it meets at least one of the three various 20% categories, which the citizen read into the record.
Well, let's do this. Let's go ahead with our business for a while, and then we'll consult with the city attorney. I think what the police chief has to talk to us about is very important, and I think the people here ought to hear what he has to say. Okay, so item...
Mr. Mayor, the petition includes the plan development district ordinance.
Okay, so both. Okay. So, let's go.
CSM and PDD?
That's what the petition is, yes.
Okay. Protest petition is for a zoning amendment. I'm not 100% sure that applies to the comp plan, but the zoning amendment...
Okay.
Well, let's just do this. Item G7, is there a motion to table till our December 16th meeting is very full as it is? Is there an objection to the applicant if we go into January? To the first meeting in January. Because by law we need to consider this protest petition. We need to determine whether it's supermajority or
what
a simple majority.
What if it's rejected?
Why don't you use the mic?
What if it's rejected?
The city attorney.
What if it's not? Appropriate method of procedure is to review the petition and determine whether or not it meets the legal requirements. And that will direct the council as to what the vote majority required will be. And the council is not advised to do that without those facts before it.
My recommendation, we lay this over until January, whatever the first meeting is in January.
Otherwise, staff is capable of.
There's 160 things that don't. Let's do this legally. Okay, I'm going to move to item G6,
an ordinance to amend the City of Franklin Comprehensive Master Plan. Alderwoman Mayor.
I just had a question. If it's tabled, is that all four items that would be tabled?
We would do that, yes.
Yeah.
So we're going to G6?
I apologize. I said G7. I meant G6. I apologize for that. So item G6, an ordinance to amend the City of Franklin 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan to change future land use for property located approximately 31st and Cobblestone Way from residential use and areas of natural resource features to residential multifamily use and areas of natural resources. Do I have a motion to table?
Motion to table.
To the first meeting.
The first meeting in January, which would be January 6th.
There's support for that. We're doing this legally, folks. It's not the time to be acting on principle.
I'll make that motion. I'll second.
Discussion of that motion. Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, I guess that we have, as City Attorney's opinion, we have no other option. We can't vote. Or we can't, I guess the better question is, we can't vote based on what it would be, 5 votes with that in place and typically 4 without, or what? How is, can you explain that to the residents and the council?
Mr. City Attorney.
3/4 of all common council members voting, 6 member council, 6 members voting, would be 5 votes.
If that was in place.
Otherwise, it would be a majority of a quorum present and voting. Mayor, on a supermajority 3/4 vote, the mayor doesn't figure into the calculation because there wouldn't be a tie to be broken. So it's just the aldermanic members of the common council. Hypothetical, and this is hypothetical. Repeated that. Hypothetical, the council doesn't know what the voting requirement is because the petitions have not been reviewed and the 20% areas within and or surrounding the proposed rezone area has not been reviewed and certified by staff. So the common council nonetheless takes a vote, and the vote is 4-0. Did that motion pass or not? You don't know. Because you don't know if 5 votes were required. And there's hypothetical. I would say the city would well be able to defend the arguments, but theoretically, you never know what might occur in litigation in front of a court. Theoretically, the developer, council takes action. Council does not have before it a for certain, here's the voting requirement. Developer challenges any action on the theory of the matter being prejudged because common council would not even await a determination of how many votes are required to know for sure is it a yes or is it no with regard to the proposal.
Alderman Wilhelm, so it's floor.
So the motion on the floor is to table it, and this is only tabling G6. Or wouldn't it make sense to table G7? And
as I mentioned just a couple of seconds ago, we'll do all 4, but let's do them one at a time, the way the agenda says. I don't know what the attraction is to shortcutting here. Let's do it right.
Well, I wasn't asking you to shortcut it. I was asking you if that was necessary, because if you, once you don't do the CSM, the other two aren't really in front of us. So I was just asking if that was the next step you were going to do. So you don't have to criticize me.
Any other discussion?
So just a question.
Alderman Mayor.
So if we would not have received the petitions, we could have taken a vote tonight. Mm-hmm. And it would have been up or down.
maybe they'd like to withdraw their petition.
Alderwoman Evans.
Without receiving the petition, there still would have been a presentation by the developer for the council members that have not seen one yet, correct?
No. It's a comprehensive master plan amendment.
I mean for the other items on the agenda.
Well, see, here we go. We got people in the audience saying no, but we were just accused of not taking their input. So now what do we do? The answer to that question is, of course, we take input from the developer. So just like we take input from you folks. So the motion on it? Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Well, regarding that, there was opportunity in our ordinance for a concept review. Maybe those procedures should be considered in the future.
Sure. There's a motion on the floor to table till January 6th. Any further discussion of that motion? Alderman Schmidt.
Yes, if by tabling this now, if it comes back based on what their findings are from the petitions, is it still going to require a 5 votes then, or is it there
it may
to take action when we come back, as opposed to a simple majority of 4 votes?
A certification of 20% of the abutting land, 100 feet of the abutting landowners, by the planning staff through review of assessment records, will tell us whether it's a simple majority of the quorum or a supermajority of the council, which is 5 votes. We'll know that when they do their job. Okay? That's the purpose in tabling it, so we know what the vote needs to be. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the table of January 6th signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G7, is there a motion to table amendment to the Unified Development Ordinance for market rate apartment development?
So moved.
Second.
To January 6th.
Yes.
That is the second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G8, a resolution. Is there a motion to table resolution conditionally approving a three-lot certified survey map till January 6th?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G9, is there a motion to table a resolution conditionally authorizing vacation of a public utility and roadway easements?
So moved.
To January 6th, excuse me.
So moved.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. For those of you in Cobblestone, have a Merry Christmas and a nice New Year. We'll see you on the 6th. You can stick around. Wait. Please, wait for 1 minute. 1 minute. Listen to what the chief has to say. Item E1, organizational business. Presentation by Chief Oliva on the 2014 Service Awards. Alderwoman Evans and I attended the graduation for the Citizens Alumni Police Academy. For those of you who are interested in how our police do their jobs, it's 13 weeks. You get to do a little bit of everything the police department does. At that graduation, the chief has, for the past several years, given his departmental awards for various activities, and I think it's important the community gets a taste of what's going on. Chief Oliva.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, last week we held a department award ceremony to honor several department members, citizens, and other department officers who assisted our department in solving some crime issues in the city. We'll start with Officer Stephen Rabinovich, who earned a life-saving award on Sunday, June 1st, 2014, at 7:03 p.m. Officer Rabinovich responded to 6512 South 120th Street, where he found the residence full of smoke and the garage fully engulfed in flames. Two citizens were also on the scene attempting to enter the home to determine if anyone was inside the residence. Officer Rabinovich reached the window on the front of the house and called out for anyone inside. Not receiving a response, Officer Rabinovich attempted entry to the rear of the house but was impeded by flames and smoke. Upon returning to the front of the residence, he discovered one of the citizens had entered the home through the window that he breached. Despite the smoke and fire, the officer entered the home through the window to extract the citizen who was assisting the homeowner and assist the homeowner. He was able to extract the homeowner from the burning home and provide first aid to him until the fire department arrived. Consequently, again, he was given a life-saving award, and that was actually his second award that he received for life-saving. We also issued a meritorious arrest citation to Officer David Berkey. On April 18, 2014, he was on patrol when he observed a man and a woman standing between two cars, which were parked in the pick-and-save lot, 6400 South 27th Street. Moments later, he heard a car horn honking and the woman screaming. Officer Berkey rushed up to help the woman, who stated a man had just assaulted her and stolen her purse before fleeing in a silver car, which was stopped at a nearby intersection. Officer Berkey called for assistance for the woman and took off after the suspect vehicle. After catching up to it and initiating a stop, the vehicle accelerated to a high rate of speed and attempted to flee from Officer Berkey, who gave pursuit. Officer Berkey was determined to apprehend this violent offender and pursued him all the way to the area of 15th and Cleveland in the city of Milwaukee when the suspect vehicle crashed into a guardrail and the driver was taken into custody. The officer was able to recover the victim's belonging, but more importantly was able to take a violent criminal off the streets, preventing him from victimizing more people. We recognize Officer Berkey for his keen situational awareness and his strong desire to protect the public, even at risk of putting himself in harm's way. We also gave out two community service awards to citizens. On the evening of Sunday, June 15th, shortly after midnight, Mr. Robert Miller contacted Franklin Dispatch to report activity he believed was suspicious. He observed two individuals looking into windows of parked cars near his residence on South 27th Street. Mr. Miller gave dispatch their location and description, and squads were dispatched immediately. He stayed on the scene to assist officers and point them in the right direction. Upon officers' arrival, the two subjects fled the scene on foot, and a search involving several officers from multiple departments ensued. Officers had closed in on the area but were not immediately able to find the subjects due to the darkness. Our dispatch soon received a call from Mr. Corey Cook, who stated that there was a man hiding behind a tree outside his home on West College. Mr. Miller's and Mr. Cook's information was directly responsible for the apprehension of the two subjects. It was later discovered that multiple vehicles in the area had been broken into and had property stolen from them. The two individuals were arrested and charged with prowling, theft, resisting arrest, and felon in possession of a firearm. Without the information received from Mr. Miller and Mr. Cook, these thefts would likely have gone unnoticed until the criminals were long gone. It possibly exists that the two suspects may not have been held accountable for their crimes. And again, they were awarded a Citizens Community Service Award for their actions. We also gave out meritorious arrest citations to two Milwaukee police officers who assisted us. On 9:30 p.m. in May of 2014, Linda Steer was on her way to do some shopping at Walmart on South 27th Street. Upon her arrival, Linda parked her vehicle and exited and was confronted by a man with a gun who ordered her to get back in the car and not say a word. Frightened, Steer threw down her purse and fled for the safety of Walmart. The armed man took her purse and fled in the car from the scene. Franklin Police Department conducted their investigation and notified other police departments in the surrounding area. Two officers who received the information about the robbery were Officer Steven Strasser and Officer Richard Litwin of the Milwaukee Police Department. These two, working together, noticed similarities between the incident in Franklin and other incidents which occurred in the Milwaukee metro area. They got to work piecing together the evidence, and a combination of surveillance, search warrants, and solid police work led to the arrest of two individuals responsible for robbing Linda Steer. Two subjects were later charged with four total counts of armed robbery in the jurisdictions of Milwaukee, West Milwaukee, and Franklin. The officers showed great skill and determination in conducting their duties. They worked diligently on their own initiative to take two people off the street before they could terrorize any more victims. Their assistance to our department and our city is greatly appreciated, and we honor their efforts with a meritorious arrest citation. And then lastly, we recognize one of our dispatcher, Patty Wendt, who completed 25 years of service to our department. Very great employee. She's a lead dispatcher. She's a trainer and a great asset to our department, and we recognize Patty for 25 years.
Thank you, Chief. And thank you, Chief. Everybody recognized the chief is a humble man. He did not want to do this, and I forced him into it, and I'm glad I did. So there. So thank you, everybody, and have a nice holiday if you're going to leave.
You left last night.
Okay, item E2, boards and commissions appointments. David J. Miller, Civic Celebrations Commission.
So moved.
Second.
Madam Clerk, call the roll.
Alderman D'Andrea.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Left her seat.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Aye.
4 affirmative votes needed, 5 received. Motion passes. Item 2B, Tim Solomon, Community Development Authority, a 4-year term expiring 8/30/16.
I'll move to approve. I think I've heard that name somewhere before.
Yeah.
Second.
Madam Clerk.
Say your
chair. I have.
Alderman.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Alderwoman Mayer.
No.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman D'Andrea.
Aye.
Vote requires 4 affirmative votes, inasmuch as Alderman Wilhelm is not here and therefore abstaining. Motion fails.
Wait, it had 4.
It had 4.
4-1-1.
Apologize. Apologize, Tim. Motion approved. Thank you very much. Item 2, I'll see you Thursday night. Item 2C, Matt Cool.
Move to approve.
Second.
I like that when you chime in like that. Madam Clerk.
Alderman D'Andrea.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Evans.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Aye.
The vote is 5-0 with 1 abstention. Motion passes. Item 2D, John Trudeau, 6th District Fair Commission. Unexpired 3-year term.
So moved.
Second.
Madam Clerk.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman D'Andrea.
Aye.
Motion, vote is 5-0. 1 abstention. Motion passes. Alderwoman Wilhelm has returned to her seat. Item G1, reports and recommendations. Item G1, consent agenda. Any action for separate motions?
Fine.
Current action regarding this item.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion to approve items 1A through D. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries.
Item you did ask for finance to be separated. You said it's anything, but never mind. Just go on.
Item G2, a resolution approving a 2-lot certified survey map for Donald and Catherine Statza, 9045 South 76.
Move to approve.
Second.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Could we make sure they have a note that if there's development within 5 years, that the wetland delineation may require updating? This is another one of these CSM.
I understand.
Issues.
Is that part of your motion, Ms. Alderman D'Andrea?
Yes, we can include that.
Mr. Mayor?
Second.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, all, Mr. Statza.
Point of information. Is that in the code that you have to have that wetland updated every 5 years? It costs $1,500 to have that done.
Well,
in other words, if I hold on to this land for 5 years, it's going to cost me another $1,500. There is no wetland there.
Wait, Kristen. Okay. Mr. Deedle, professional staff. Does this code require updating?
I do not believe so.
State law.
Mr. City Attorney.
Staff will take a look at it. UDO, as online, since the amendment in 2003, generally requires all wetland delineations to be redone because they, in effect, to use a common term, expire after 5 years. The only thought in my mind is when the primarily conservation and natural resource related provisions were part of the 2003 amendment, that there was a relatively long recitation in that ordinance approved by the council as to what applies, and I remember something about existing lots of record and the like in that preamble, so you'd have to double check that.
Now, having said that, I will tell you this is a high lot that slopes from the middle out. There isn't any wetlands. Alderwoman Willem.
Well, my suggestion was actually for the protection of the property owner so he didn't get stuck with something. And the way I worded it, it said, if not developed within 5 years, wetland delineations may require updating. And an update is different than a complete delineation. It lets them know that they could do an update rather than a full-out one, which would satisfy current DNR law, and it's actually a helpful thing, not a hindrance, for the landowner to know that information.
Mr. Stetson.
Point of information, Mr. Chairman. I respect the council members' interest in this, but I've had this land for 53 years, and there's never been a wetland there. There's never going to be a wetland because of what you described it. It's a hill and it goes both ways. So I think this is just cumbersome for me. That's all.
Well, the Alderwoman's wording included the word may.
No, wait.
Now, who knows what may means?
Exactly.
But
I dealt with the city before. When you come to may, that's an unknown. Believe me.
Okay. Alderman Wilhelm, and then we'll either take action or something else?
Well, I haven't seen the property. Things change, lands change, grading changes, people bulldoze, you know, all kinds of things happen to land over the years. And it's actually, if you're going to develop it, you're better off having wording that it's updated because then you can prove to the DNR if you have to that you have that. But I don't know. We're just not going to.
Point of information. I totally disagree with what she's saying about my land. I mean, she hasn't seen it, and this should have been so simple. It's pathetic and complicated like this.
Okay. There's a motion on the floor that includes that language. Any other discussion of that motion? All those in favor of the motion as it stands signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. You got your certified survey map. It just has a note on it.
Thank you, people.
Thank you, Don.
Yeah.
Don, there's one other. Item G3, a resolution authorizing certain officials to accept a conservation easement for and as part of a review and approval of the CSM for Mr. Stetson's property at 9045 South 76th Street.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion?
Whoever wants it.
Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. G4, a resolution conditionally approving a outlot certified survey map for Alfred L. Black, 12321 West Rawson Avenue.
Question?
Let's have some action first. Is there a motion regarding this matter?
So moved.
Second.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Question is this a lot with no trees and only wetlands? Because only wetlands are listed.
Mr. Deedle.
It's entirely wooded, and one of our conditions is that they put that notation on the CSM.
Thank you.
Seeing no more discussion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G5, resolution authorizing certain officials to accept a conservation easement for that property at 12321 West Rawson Avenue.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion, seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. It's time to hear about Kayla's Crew, item G10. Come on up, Shelley. Let me do the legal stuff here. Kayla's Crew Design, an all-accessible, all-inclusive playground and park, natural center, City of Franklin, the Kayla's Crew, and community partners, Penfield Children's Center, the Conservation Fund, Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewage District, and Green Seams. Shelley Runty.
Good evening. Shelley Runty. I currently reside at 8235 West Coventry Drive. Have been a citizen of Franklin for 13 years now. I came primarily here tonight just to give you an update where we are at with Kayla's Crew. I've done that same thing with the Parks Commission and the Planning Commission. And first and foremost, I'd like to extend a thank you to each and every one of you in July for unanimously supporting our project. Thank you is, it doesn't do it justice. So I really appreciate, I speak on behalf of Kayla's Crew and the entire advisory board and our community. So thank you for being on board, supporting us. So for the members in the audience, we've lost quite a few, just to give them a little bit of background on the mission behind Kayla's Crew, my daughter Kayla is the inspiration behind the whole Kayla's Crew mission of building an all-abilities playground. Very simply put, Kayla never spoke a word, but she taught life lessons of acceptance, compassion, and patience. And she passed away in 2012, and I realized that it was a legacy that I wanted to share with the community. And what better way to do that, none other than building a foundation for teaching those life lessons on a playground that welcomes all abilities. That would give our community, it goes well beyond the playground in the hearts of many. For the last 2 years, I've spoken with groups of children and adults, and those life lessons land in communities beyond the playground where compassion and patience and acceptance really breeds within communities everywhere. So we created Kayla's Crew. We were part of the Franklin Civic Celebration in 2013. We were honored to be welcomed to the spaghetti dinner with the Franklin firefighters. We were part of the National Night Out, where a local group of Victory of the Lamb Lutheran Church had approached us and said, we have land that we're willing to donate to Kayla's Crew to build the playground. With the City of Franklin on board, we're very, very excited for all of the community partners that are listed in the agenda as well. We're at a point that we have hired a design group from Ithaca, New York, and they will be coming to our community on Thursday, December 4th. We're very excited. Their credentials are well. The playground, when it is built by the community, it will pass all the standards and guidelines for the Product Safety Commission, as well as the ADA accessibility guidelines, as well as the safety. They're all certified safety inspectors for the National Recreation and Parks Association as well. So even though it's community built with over 100 community citizens per shift helping to construct the playground, it will pass all of the guidelines. So it brings us to Design Day. I'm going to tell you a little bit about how it works. We're going to have many volunteers go into 10 elementary schools between Franklin and Greendale. We will be interviewing all of the students of roughly 1,800. I was just over at Ben Franklin Elementary School before I came here, and the drawings and the comments and the research that these students have done is simply amazing. We're putting them all up to decorate the gymnasium, and it's incredible the input that these students have done. So 1,800 students will have a part in this community of Greendale and Franklin, and we're pretty proud of that. I've met with local therapists in the Ben Franklin Elementary School as well. Currently, there's 400 students that carry an individual education plan, which is an IEP, that requires them to have some level of support. I think it's very important that we have components on the playground that will enable these students to obtain therapy through play. Offering parents to not only have therapy within the school system, but also outside of the classroom. So we'll have our very own design Thursday, just a few short days away. The reception, all of you are invited. Mayor Steve Olson so generously had changed the meeting time on Thursday. The Planning Commission, thank you so much, Mayor, to 7:30, correct? So that all of you can attend. So the reception will start at 5:30. We have many donations from many businesses within Franklin, refreshments and desserts, you name it. Come hungry. And the unveiling will begin at 6 o'clock. One really nice thing that we have part of the unveiling, we have a group of students through MSOE, through the Servant Leadership Program. They will be designing and building a component of our playground. One thing that I feel strongly about is tapping into the talents of Milwaukee. And we were able to partner with MSOE Servant Leadership Group, and we're very, very excited for them to share their design as well. Some of the design examples that we'll have, this certainly is not ours, but we'll have one that's very unique to our community based on the students' input. And some of the components that we have our eyes on, the most inclusive components, certainly do not come cheap, but we're determined to raise enough money to implement some of these items. Certainly in the right upper right-hand corner, that's a wheelchair swing that the wheelchair can certainly just wheel up on it and swing. There's a merry-go-round in the upper left-hand corner that's all-inclusive. In the lower left-hand corner, there's a stainless steel slide. We've learned over the last 2 years that children with cochlear implants, which we have a few of them in our community, they are not able to participate going down the slide because of the plastic nature of slides. The static caused from those slides can cause damage to their implants. So we are looking at having a stainless steel slide shipped in from Europe, and many other components that will really push the envelope of inclusion. That's our goal. We want this to be a destination playground to bring people to our community. That people will say, you know what, Kayla's Crew Playground is the place to go. That's where you can tap into some of these resources. Another thing that we'd like to include is the accessible restrooms and pavilion. The other inclusive playgrounds that are local, one's in Port Washington and out in Oconomowoc, we would travel 40 minutes with Kayla and her friends, and restrooms and pavilion are very, very important. So another stress that we're looking to provide not only for our community, but for the people that come to our playground as well. So again, our design date is December 4th. You're all welcome to come and attend and see the unveiling of our playground. And in the two things that I wanted to just touch base with you tonight and ask of the Common Council, we will need a site coordinator. It's recommended by Play by Design to have a site coordinator available on Thursday morning to go out to the site to represent the city. So I ask that a recommendation of that.
It's covered.
It's all covered, okay.
Talk to Glenn.
Thank you. And then secondly, as we look at the agenda and all of it's a great group of people, great partnership listing, and we're proud to be amongst all of those partners. Certainly, we need to get closer to an MOU, and I ask that if we can, I don't know the process of anything, but if we can move quicker to an MOU, we'll get closer to our build date for September 2015. Okay. Thank you. Any questions before?
Alderman Wall.
I just wondered if there was anything that we can do on the city level for your project, how it's moving along. Is there any requests you need or things that are not moving along?
I think really the MOU, I think, is the only, you know, the site coordinator coming on Thursday. Once we have a design in play, I think we can all sit down and get a better idea. But that MOU is probably the most important step.
Is that something you've been working on with the city attorney, or how is that
going? I've shared the MOU.
The city attorney.
I think the common council president knows why the city attorney can't get to that and this and that and this and that. It's because it's everything.
Well, I guess that's why I was asking. I didn't remember the MOU or anything, but I'm wondering if there's some way to lessen your burden, I guess, if that would be helpful. I don't know. But is that the main thing we should be aware of?
I think the main thing right now. So just the first two forecasted, right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Alderman Mayor.
Victory of the Lamb is going to be building in March or sometime in the spring.
I think they break ground in April of 2015. Okay. I think that's what their timeline is, but I'm don't hold me to that.
Yeah, no, that's
they could
fine.
Better answer that.
My understanding is that you had wanted to possibly do that in conjunction with that. So moving to September 2015, is this going to be a problem as far as meeting September?
Mr. City Attorney.
Everybody promises that if I don't do something else by some deadline, I can take care of all this. Anybody wants to look at a to-do list, and I'm constantly reminding Ms. Runthia, Alderman Mayor, that it'll get done. Common Council in July voted to support this project. I'm well aware of that. There are about 14 different alternatives. This is, well, I'm not going to repeat everything I said at the November 4th meeting, but there's a bigger picture here. Theoretically, the bigger picture is better for everybody and all things that work, and play, et cetera, and lifestyle. So I'm trying to do that, but bottom line is the Common Council twice voted in support of this particular project as well as didn't take budget actions. So, yes, this will get done.
Last evening I made a comment, and I'm going to make it again tonight. Every time one of us calls a staff member with another emergency, whether it is or not, I understand taking care of your constituents, that's very important, but every time you call with another emergency, something falls down the list. So all I'm asking you to do is consider whether your request is really an emergency. Let's try to let our staff get out from under some of this stuff first. Just a request. Just think twice before you make the phone call. Okay, so we'll do it.
We'll be patient.
You
thank
can call
you.
Suzanne, you can call me, you can call Suzanne. It's fine.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
What kind of food? No.
No, it's we have little butterfly cookies. They're homemade. So we'll see you there.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Keep moving or quick break? Item G11, recommendation from the Department of Public Works to accept the bids received. Bids have been received for the sale of surplus vehicles and equipment.
Someone move to accept.
Second. There's a question.
Yes, Mr. Rotson.
Mr. Mayor, I had a conversation today with the superintendent of Department of Public Works, and he asked that the chipper be removed from that list that's on your agenda this evening, and the reason being that the trade-in value of that chipper is greater than the bid that was received on the state's site.
Madam Clerk.
I'm sorry, Paul, I didn't distribute it to you, but I did prepare a document which does have the bids as recommended by Wisconsin Surplus, and the last item does have that notation delineated. I'm sorry.
But we don't have it. So is your motion to accept with the exclusion of the chipper? Who made that motion?
I did.
About the chipper. So the maker of the motion nodding up and down to exclude the chipper.
I said, that's
correct.
And
who was correct. The second? Doug was the second. All right. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G12, resolution authorizing issuance and sale of $1,300,000 in general obligation bonds and promissory bonds. There's a couple of items here. Welcome, Ms. Gunderson.
Mr. Mayor and members of the council, I'm pleased to introduce Dawn Gunderson from our financial advisor, Ellers and Associates. They have been working with staff to secure bids for the two debt offerings that the city, the Common Council, authorized earlier this fall, one on September 23rd and one on October 21st. Those bids arrived earlier this morning, and Ms. Gunderson is circulating the results of one of the bids related that was received this morning. About a Friday before Thanksgiving, the city was received information from Moody's on which certified and confirmed the city's debt rating of AA1 after discussions with Moody's, and that is able to help the city borrow funds at the most advantageous rates. And with that, I'll leave Ms. Gunderson to her presentation.
Thank you, and good evening. I have passed out two pieces of information. One is referred to as a sale day report. I will walk through that document and cover a few of the schedules in there. The other one is a resolution that was prepared today by your bond attorney, Quarles and Brady. That resolution has now been populated with all the results of the sale. So you had a draft of that in your packet for a bond issue of $1,300,000 for your water utility projects. The resolution I've handed out is $1,290,000. So that is the resolution you'll actually be taking under consideration this evening, the amount for the smaller dollar amount, and I'll explain what that difference is. So this morning we took bids for your water utility bond issue, bond meaning it's up to 20 years of term for financing, and the amount was $1,300,000. So I'll walk you through a few of the schedules. I won't spend a lot of time on great detail because some of this stuff you can read in your leisure, but the first page behind the cover is kind of a summary of the results of that bidding. As your finance director mentioned, Moody's affirmed your AA1 rating, which congratulations for that. It's a substantial recognition of the credit quality for the city of Franklin. The only place that's higher than that is a AAA, so you're one notch below the highest possible rating you can have from a bond rating agency. On this particular bid, we had three bidders, and the low bid came from Baird out of Milwaukee. So we've kind of given you an idea of the spread between the high and low. We feel that there's a benefit to doing competitive sales. And in this case, Baird's low bid was at 3.009 true interest cost, and the high bid was at 3.43. So there's a pretty decent spread in terms of rates. As far as cost, if the difference between those two bids was about just under $57,000 in interest costs, so the benefit of having that process in place. The final sale result then is we were able to downsize the issue, meaning we are borrowing less and still accomplishing your projects, to the $1,290,000. We've kind of recapped the issuance, the underwriter's discount. We had a reoffering premium. The true interest cost, the cost of issuance, and the yields were between 0.4% and 3.25%. So the total net principal and interest of 1.6. So that's kind of in recap. What I'd like to draw your attention to then is some of the schedules that are attached. Behind that summary sheet is the tabulation of the bids we received. So we did receive Baird as our winning bid, and that true interest rate is the determination of that bid. It's spelled out in the bond documents that the winning bid will be based on that. And so Baird obviously had a lot of other underwriters participate in this bid. They're all listed under their syndicate below them. Their rates are included there. There were a few, we did adjust the size downwards, so it did reduce that true interest cost down slightly to a final of 3.0952. The other two bids are listed on the second page, Raymond James out of Florida. So you not only had interest at a local and regional level, but also at a national level. And then following that is BOSC, which is a division of subsidiary of Bank of Oklahoma. They're out of Milwaukee. So those were the three bidders on this issue and their respective bids. Turning to page three, to kind of give you a recap of how the, and if it's okay, I'm going to walk through these two schedules. These are identical on both bond issues and include both issues. Is that okay to do that? So we have both the notes and the bonds here. So if you look to the right of this schedule, since we're addressing the bonds first, we have the preliminary sizing for the bond issue for the water utility projects, and then the final is in the green columns. You'll see that our original size was the 1.3. We're actually authorizing this evening the sale of 1.290. And the reason we were able to reduce the amount of the size, one is our rating fee, because we're doing both issues at the same time. There was some economies of scale and a reduction in the rating fee, as well as we had this reoffering premium that helped support some of the underwriter discount, and that was built into the interest rates that they provided. But between those two items, we were able to reduce the amount of borrowing and still accomplish the full amount of projects that you are planning to undertake. And with and I can come back, I guess I'll come back to the notes and kind of summarize the... Yeah, we've got it all in one document because we had both of them presented. So anyway, to bring you back to the long pullout page, just to kind of focus then on the note issue itself, it's about two-thirds of the page to the right. You'll see general obligation water utility bonds, the $2.9 million. The primary focus here is with the rates that we've received on your competitive sale. What I've done here is compared it to our planning estimates. And we were able to reduce the principal amount of the bonds by $10,000. Our actual interest expense was a little bit less, $29,000 less. So overall, you're accomplishing the same projects that you identified when you authorized the sale. And we're doing that for about $39,000 less than what your planning estimates were to proceed with that. So that kind of summarizes the utility bond issue. For the water utility projects, and that's the resolution that you have before you. I think I'll wait to get to the second item to go over the notes, but to wrap up what's included in this packet, we've included the rating report, and I think that's been previously provided to you. You should read that. I think it's a good document to understand what the rating agencies look at. They talk about your strength and your challenges and items that can cause your rating to go up or go down. So it's important for you as elected officials to understand that. And the last page of this document kind of sums up why we're in a better position now than our planning estimates. And it's a good time to have issued debt for financing projects. This is the last 12 months of the bond buyer indices, which is a very common indices used to track interest rates in municipal bonds. So you can see that over the last 12 months, we hit a high in that 12-month period back in January where the 20-year maturity on an issue was at 4.75. And in October, we hit the low for the year at 3.87. And the most recent record of that, we saw some uptick and then some drop, is at 3.93. So we're pretty close to the low for the year. And so you've timed that well in this 12-month period. And if you were to look at this schedule for the last 5 years and the last 25 years, we still are at extremely low environment in the municipal bond market. So glad to answer questions, yes.
Alderman Wilhelm.
I just a couple questions on page 3 and 4 on the footnotes. Yeah, the four footnotes on the bottom, and I'm not able to find footnote 2's numbering what that applies to.
When we were doing our preliminary planning estimates, those were rates that we were using for our planning. So we were using a bond sale that happened back in August. So when we talk about this issue is coming out today less, that was the interest rates we were estimating at that time. Okay. So the rates that are included in this packet now are the actual final sale rates.
Well, footnote 2 applies to what on the page?
It really applied to the total. It wouldn't have been included on that page. It applied to the estimated rates on the
page. Should come off of there then?
It can come off there,
yeah. And then same thing on the next page where it has footnotes 1 and 2, and I'm locating 1 and 3.
1 and 3. Yeah, you're correct. That should have been changed to 2. I apologize for that.
Let the record reflect that Alderman Mayer has left the seat. I do want to ask the council, when you get a minute and have nothing else to do, to read the Moody's report, page 5 on. That's 2.5 hours of my life I'll never get back, but I appreciate the efforts that Don and Paul and Mark put into this presentation. It was pretty hefty presentation, if I do say so for you. And you did excellent, all three of you did an excellent job. And it's borne out by the fact that we maintained our very high bond rating. Now, regarding the bond rating, in order for us to get to the next higher level, we'd need much higher assessed value and what, better cash?
Well, if you look on page 7 of that document, Moody's kind of highlights what could change your rating upward. And one thing that is certainly reflective here in this rating is you have strong general fund reserves and you're structurally balanced. So maintaining that is extremely important, and you would never go up if you didn't maintain those reserves. And then sufficient expansion of your tax base or your demographic profile. So some of those things you can control, your economic development issue efforts certainly will have an impact there. But those would be the things that would be probably required before you could see your rating go higher. And not that that can't happen. There's other communities within this area that one notch higher. I think it's also important to understand what could go down. And if you had major declines in your value, property values, or you have a substantial reduction in your fund balance or your liquidity of your funds, or you continue to have operating deficits that would deteriorate those fund balances. So those would be the things that you would want to be cautious about that could drop your rating. And that rating is definitely reflective in the rates that you get. So that's the market looks to that, and it certainly equates to dollars and cents when debt is sold.
Is there a motion to adopt a resolution authorizing issuance and sale of $1,290,000 in general obligation promissory bonds?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Mayor, excuse me, it would be appropriate for this to be a roll call vote.
Madam Clerk.
Alderman DeAndrea.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Vote is 6-0, unanimous vote. Thank you very much. Item G12, resolution authorizing issuance and sale of $5,345,000 in general obligation promissory notes. Mr. Rotzenberg.
While the sale document is being distributed to the Common Council, and again, these are the final documents or the final versions of the documents after the bids were received this morning. By way of refresher for the Common Council, this is a combined offering. $2 million of this offering is supporting the Capital Improvement Fund that was adopted a year ago with the 2014 budget, and the other $3.3 million, as it was originally proposed, is supporting TID 3 in its projects related to the reconstruction and the city's portion of the costs associated with the reconstruction of South 27th Street from College to Drexel in 2015.
Is there a motion to adopt the resolution authorizing issuance and sale of $5,320,000 in general obligation promissory notes?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Alderwoman Mayer.
I just have a question. With it being separated out, the $2 million is still the TIF District Number 3 is using this $2 million for what? And then the $3.3 million is being used for what?
Okay. The offering is being split into two pieces. $2 million is being used to support the city's capital improvement plan that was adopted a year ago when the 2014 budgets were adopted. And those are funding Pleasant View Park expansion, the access to the park, and the initial grading and the input of the ball diamond. Several other park projects. There were two police projects included in that capital budget. I can get to the budget book if you'd like me to enumerate all the projects. So that's the $2 million.
Right, okay, just for clarification, I'm reading here that the project and used by TIF District 3 for its project cost $2 million. And TIF District Number 3, $3.3 million for capital projects.
That is reversed if that's what it says. It should be 3.3 for TIF District and $2 million for the city.
Okay, both of them say TIF District on this sheet. That's what I'm reading. That's my
and
confusion.
$2 million is not for the TIF district. $2 million is for the city and the capital improvement fund.
All right.
The other $3.3 million is for the TIF district,
okay.
Substantially the South 27th Street projects.
Okay.
Is that it?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm still there. It's only been 9 months. We'll get it.
Nine.
Seven and a half, sorry. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Roll call, please, Madam Clerk.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Evans.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Dander.
Aye.
Vote is 6-0. Motion passes. Item G14, audit agreement with Clifton Gunderson for 2014 audit. Mr. Rotzenberg or a motion? Mr. City Attorney.
Suggested motion is for the action sheet and then to add subject to technical changes consistent with standard city terms, which may be made by the Director of Finance and Treasurer and City Attorney. Frankly, word for word, I've gone through the entirety of everything except the HIPAA provision there. And there are some extremely minor changes from the agreement approved last year on the subject matter with the same other party. And so just needs some further discussion with regard to city boilerplate. They added a couple of terms.
Is there a motion regarding this matter?
So moved.
Second.
Clifton Gunners has been our auditor for years.
Yeah,
5 years. Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G15, an ordinance to amend 2013-2120, an ordinance adopting 2014 budget for the general fund to approve budget amendments for fire non-personnel costs 2014 budget. Which one? Who gets it?
I'll start.
Mr. Rosenberg.
This item was brought before the Finance Committee at its November meeting. I brought that to the Finance Committee because, as I've been reporting in the financial report all year long, the Fire Department has been experiencing a couple of unusual costs this year, and it now appears rather evident that the department will exceed its budget appropriation unit for non-personnel costs. And staff recommended to Finance Committee concurs in that a budget amendment of $70,000 is appropriate for the fire department. The fire chief is here this evening to help further explain items that are on the action sheet as it's been presented to you.
Questions for the chief? Action.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Good job, Chief.
I'll take it.
Quit spending money. item G16, solicitation of City of Franklin to be included in the South Suburban Chamber. I think we ought to do this, but not the ad we did last year. Alderman Wilhelm.
I didn't say anything.
Who wants this?
Would you like to? You seem to always want to give us direction on every other thing.
Can I ask what the ad was last year?
Turn the page.
Yeah, okay.
That was the back page of the full document itself. So it was a nearly full page ad. And it was prepared internally. If you're going to want more of a professional job, I guess, although they have staff who will work with you, they don't do quite as much as you could if you hired somebody in separately to design something.
I didn't know that that's what this was, that this was the ad.
Our staff is great at running the city. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah. It's a very busy ad.
Let's just say our staff is great at running a city. Alderman Wilhelm.
So what can we get from design help? What's our minimum we can get if they're going to help us design? I don't want to go with a full-page ad that comes out looking like that.
Don't list a price here, Mark, for the back cover as we had last year.
We've contacted them trying to get additional information, but we haven't heard back.
Recall what the expense was last year?
Yeah, it was $5,000. And there was a volunteer company that would have helped us with this, but Mark did not. I think there was communication problems that we would have had some professional assistance here. Because I'm privy to that information, because I know people that serve on the board. I think we can get service assistance pro bono if I make the proper phone calls.
All right, okay. Let me move this along.
So,
how about a motion for $5,500 from restricted contingency, not to exceed $5,500, refer to the EDC for composition, and move on.
But you don't want the back cover, I thought.
Why not? We don't want this ad on the back cover.
Correct.
No.
Why don't, okay. Why don't you want to read? You want to keep the space on the back cover?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me rephrase the motion.
Okay.
Not to exceed $5,500 from restricted contingency, refer to the Economic Development Commission for their recommendation and action.
Yeah. I'll make that motion.
It should be restricted.
Restricted.
Yeah. I'll make the motion.
I'll second it.
Discussion? Alderman Mayer.
Do we have any way of tracking this success? Do we have any questionnaires that we can put out and say, how did you hear about us? You know, like all other marketing companies do, they say, how did you hear about us? Was it the web? Was it this? Was it so-and-so? Do we track it at all? Are we getting anything for our money? I don't care, anybody.
Mr. Liberta.
We don't have any tracking mechanism at this time.
What's your gut feeling?
The back cover of a document that sits at multiple businesses and distributed to all new homeowners. I believe there are a number of businesses, a lot of them that advertise in here, all of whom believe it's providing marketing benefits. So just because we don't have a way of tracking whether marketing has a benefit doesn't mean it isn't, but $5,500 is not a substantial cost compared to a $24 million budget.
Is there a relatively inexpensive way we could track it for the 2015?
Not particularly, given that we don't have a lot of control over the distribution, unless we asked, you know, made a standard practice of asking everybody who came into planning department what, you know, if they've seen the ad and if that instigated them to come here. Part of the ad was not just to specifically get people to apply, but it was simply to get Franklin's name out there to be seen, and not necessarily that it has to drive a specific business to come in, but just to have the name Franklin be seen and to promote some of the notions that were described in the ad.
Okay. Wow, it's a popular item. Who was first?
No, I just have a follow-up.
Okay, Alderman Mayer.
To Alderman Mayer's question, I mean, your answer to his question, Mr. Liberta, sounded pretty cheap to me as far as, you know, planning, being able to ask the question, anybody who comes in, how'd you find out about it? Is that something that we would be able to do? I mean, it probably wouldn't be massively accurate, but it would be something.
Absolutely. I mean, a simple question like that or a survey could be developed. I mean, yes, you could try to ascertain from the planning standpoint downstairs if people coming in have seen the ad.
Okay. Is that something that we can just have for the next time this comes up?
We'll work on a strategy suggested to the mayor and try and figure out if it provides significant results.
Thank you.
Then you'll have to define the word result. Alderman Evans, then Alderman Wilhelm, then Alderman Dandrea, then whoever else.
I would recommend that we put a QR code on here, the little code that you use with your phone. It's easy to create those, and also the Facebook page. The QR code could lead to the Facebook page and the website. You'd have to have two. Well, you'd have to choose which one the city prefers.
I don't think we update the Facebook page, so let's go
ahead. It's being updated now.
Something. EDC can take care of it. I don't think that's their. They're smart at that. So it was Alderman Wilhelm, then Alderman Dandrea, and then I forgot.
Are we really stuck on this price? I mean, the back page for that? I don't typically look at the back of, you know, advertisements or page through or look at the front.
The motion is up to $5,500 for your action. If you guys decide that you want a page inside or a half page inside.
Okay, so if we wanted to go with a half page and actually get a decent design cost, we could also go that route.
As far as I'm concerned.
And I did like Alderman Evans' suggestions.
QR codes are great.
So I will hopefully be able to carry those through.
Alderman Dandrea.
You know, a lot of people are questioning spending dollars, and it's all about visibility and exposure. And a lot of these businesses that are in the community are looking to see us in that booklet. It shows that we are giving back a little bit to them. The book has a 50-50 chance of being on the front or on the back, laying face up or face down. So it's going to sit there. You can bury yourself in the middle, and the better chances are you're not going to be noticed. So it's the choice of the EDC. It's been forwarded there. I know we're up to a limit. That's fine. Yeah, let's see what we can work within the parameters to get the most we can for it.
Really?
Just a quick comment. I'm just going to say, if this was sitting in my business with this face up, it would be face the other
way. I think we all agree on that. Mark, okay. Don't take it personally.
Why
our staff does a great job running the city.
Yes.
Don't change your day job. All right. Madam Clerk, since I revised the motion, please read it back.
Alderman D'Andrea moved to authorize the expenditure not to exceed $5,500 from restricted contingency for an ad promoting the City of Franklin in the South Suburban Chamber of Commerce's membership directory and community guidebook, and refer to the Economic Development Commission for action. Seconded by Alderman Schmidt.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Is that correct? Doug? Let's do this. Okay, no further discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G17. 2015 Property and Casualty Insurance Program, Mr. Liberta.
Included in your packet is a listing of the individual general liability and casualty insurance coverages that we have. We largely get our coverage from the Local Government Property Insurance Fund and the League of Wisconsin Municipalities Mutual Insurance Plan, two organizations that focus entirely on serving municipalities in Wisconsin, and they, in doing that, they are able to really accommodate the unique coverages that are needed for municipalities and address the statutory provisions that address municipal liabilities.
Does the quote fall within the budget? 2015?
Yes, it does. And the only difference from what you've seen historically is they have added a deductible program this year, different than normal deductibles. A lot of times you have a deductible and you're paying first dollar up to the deductible. In this instance, their deductible doesn't kick in until you've reached the level, and then you pay that amount. So at the $5,000 deductible, for example, if something is $4,000, we wouldn't have a first dollar. Once it got to $5,000 or above, then we would have that. The way they've set it with a limit of maximum deductibles at $25,000, but a savings in our premium of $35,000, it's clearly beneficial to us to accept the maximum deductible. And I think that's because we're one of the larger groups in that it works out the best for us to do that.
Is there a motion to authorize Director of Administration to renew and execute the city's casualty insurance policy with R&R Insurance, League of Wisconsin Municipalities Mutual Insurance Company, and Local Government Property Insurance Fund, as noted above, for the upcoming 2015 year, including and incorporating the $5,000 liability deductible, and to further authorize the release of premium payments in accordance with or as required by said documents. Mr. Liberta, I knew we couldn't get
what, there. If that motion is approved, just one thing to point out, that the list does include for the storage tank that it is an estimated quote from Nautilus because it isn't available until later this week or early next week. So assuming it meets, is consistent with that estimate, we'll take it as the motion authorizing me to move forward with that one as well.
Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G18, item A, request from Dave and Rosita. Alderman Wall.
Oh, hang on, I'm going to flip to my page here. Motion to direct the Park Commission to review the comprehensive outdoor recreation plan for the feasibility of allowing aggregated tennis courts in a future area of the city and report back to the council at the first meeting in February with a recommendation on a possible location and suggested change to the court that would meet the needs of the citizens' request as presented to the Committee of the Whole on 12/01/2012.
Just for the record, I'm meeting with the county on Monday and Friday, so I'll bring this up to them as well. Any discussion on this motion? Alderman Mayor.
I am wondering if I would be able to amend that motion to also include discussions with the plan commissions and the school district for their input on this issue. We don't know what their future plans are for any of this kind of stuff, so it would be nice to have some of that information in their long-term plans
plan to possibly build some of this stuff. And even a letter sent to the school district asking for that input, not to leave them out.
Okay. That was a request for a friendly amendment. Is there a second to the friendly amendment?
Could I respond to the maker of the motion?
Actually, it's not proper, but go ahead.
Well, what I wanted to say to her was...
Kristen, I'm sorry. Let's do this right. Yeah. Let's do it legally. Is there support for that amendment?
Does that have to come
from... Is there a second for that amendment?
Does that have to come from the maker of the motion and the seconder of the motion?
No.
Okay, then I would support that.
Okay. Alderman Lowe. Now we're...
Well, the process is that if the comprehensive master plan doesn't change, there is no need to have those additional items. So that's why I wasn't supporting. I fully agree with both of those concepts, but it would have to do that. And in order to change the master plan, it has to have a public hearing in the newspaper. It has to be posted in the newspaper, and I believe it has to still come before the plan commission, but that part I'm not sure of.
You're using the term comprehensive master
plan. All right, I'm sorry. Comprehensive outdoor recreation plan. Yeah. We have too many acronyms. So I guess the process would allow plenty of time for additional input and bringing school board in. The question I have to the city attorney is, I know the process goes to a public hearing. I'm just not sure which body holds the public hearing.
Mr. City Attorney.
Corp plan is included, incorporated. The plan is incorporated into the comprehensive master plan, and in order to be included as a change, would require a comprehensive master plan amendment with the public hearing before the common council. And this subject matter of the procedure was discussed last night on this item, and that's where it ended up. Wait till the comp plan.
And so the citizens were going to work. I thought they were going to have talk with the school, and that would be part of that. And I guess we need to see if the community during this public hearing is even on board with making this change. We don't know. We're guessing that would be highly supported, especially based on the comments. But we have to go through the process in order for that to happen. So.
Alderman Mayers just outlines it this morning. So, Alderman, are you finished?
I can put that in my motion. That's fine.
I got news for you. We're going to vote on it. We're still on the amendment. We're still discussing the amendment. Alderman Evans and then Alderman Mayer.
I think it's been made clear by the citizens requesting this that this is a citizen request. This has not been requested by the school district, and as someone who's very familiar with the school district, I can tell you this is not going to be requested by the school district. As someone who knows what the school district has on their agenda right now, the school district has interests right now that are educational, especially after just going through putting in concession stand, working with the citizen group to put in a football stadium, having a referendum to put in additions to the high school. And we currently have goals in the school district to work on the middle school. So I can tell you right now that And you've also been told that the superintendent has told the citizen group there is no land available in the school district. There are no tennis courts planned with the school district. Also, the school district, which is citizens of the community, have paid, as I said yesterday, impact fees, which you heard last year. It is regarded as double taxation, really, by some. And they paid almost $100,000 in impact fees. And I think it's about time that the city comes together and thinks of the whole community and does something for children as a whole, and not expect the school district to do everything for children. This is not just for children, as the citizens have said. This is for all age groups. I mean, there are senior citizens now, you know, living at an older age that are very active. They're playing tennis now. There are many adults that go to Greendale and use those facilities which are lighted for tennis. I mean, this is a community project. If we're going to have tennis courts, I think we need to think about this as a community. So I spoke with the superintendent today at a meeting, and this is not going to be a school district project. They are willing to, as the citizen said, contribute maintenance-wise or bleachers or things like that if needed, but it will not, you know, we can give a letter, but I'm just informing you that as someone who knows. And that's all I have to say.
Okay. I think we're all getting way ahead of ourselves. We got to work through this. And as the mayor, I'm going to go sit in Mr. Patz's office. I need to do that anyway, or he needs to come and sit in mine. Doesn't matter. We'll get it figured out. And we'll talk about this because, frankly, the school district will use this. So we got to talk to him. So I'll go talk to him. I'm not going to. And until we get down the road a bit, we don't know who's paying for what, if anything's getting paid for. So let's work the program. Let's plan our work and work the plan. Right, Dave?
Perfect.
There you go. So I believe, Dan, you were next on deck.
Yeah, just a question on the motion. Were we asking the Parks Commission to make a recommendation of where to place this, or were we giving them the option of making a recommendation on the feasibility of placing it somewhere? In other words, are we backing them in a corner? We need a recommendation. Where are we going to put this, or does it make sense to put this somewhere? Or do they have other recommendations?
Make the motion.
I believe it allows flexibility in all of those, to look at the feasibility, to look at the possibility of a location, and to suggest a possible change as necessary.
Okay.
Any other discussion? Now, on the amendment, to amend it to include the school district and other people, planning commission. On the amendment, all those in favor of adding the amendment signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed?
No.
Roll call, please.
Alderman Dandria.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
No.
Alderman Schmidt.
No.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Aye.
Vote is 4-2. Motion carries.
Oh, 3-3.
4-2. Hey, for once I got it right. Leave me alone. 4-2. Motion carries. The motion is amended. Now on the original motion, which is essentially to refer to the Parks Commission. Yeah, well, can you just get it down? You figure it out.
Okay. On recommendation of the Committee of the Whole, Alderwoman Wilhelm moved to direct the Park Commission to review the Comprehensive Outdoor Recreation Plan for the feasibility of allowing aggregated tennis courts in a future area of the city and report back to the Common Council at the first meeting in February with a recommendation on a possible location and suggested change to the Comprehensive Outdoor Recreation Plan that would meet the needs of the citizens' requests as presented to the Committee of the Whole on 12-1-2014, amended to include discussions with the Plan Commission and Franklin School District for their input on the issue, along with a letter to be sent to the Franklin School District.
Alderman Willem.
I'm confused that the last part of the motion is the Park Commission's job. The Park Commission is supposed to send them.
I don't take it as them doing it.
Because they'll ask the question, so I just want to make sure. So whose duty would be the last part then?
Well, I'm chairman of the Plan Commission, and I'm supposed to go to Forest Hill Avenue and 80 and Forest Meadows one.
Okay,
of
so
days.
You'll take care of the last part.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Item 18B, who's going to do this? Discussion regarding the UDO. The discussion was we clean it up and Joel would put the top 20 and do that by February, whatever. Alderman Wilhelm.
I was going to make a motion to that effect. I have one drafted. It might need some tweaking based on what the city attorney had sent. So my motion was to direct the legal counsel to continue with UDO updates and previous UDO updates and return to the council upon the completion for review. The city attorney was saying.
And
you would like what?
Top 20 recommendations coming back from Mr. Dillon, the changes he would like to see made.
And for planning department to include their top 20 suggestions that they have concerns with.
And we agreed that that would be done by February.
Correct. And return by February, the first meeting of February.
Is there a second to that
second.
Motion? Is there a discussion of that motion, Alderman Mayor?
Is 20 enough? Do we leave that open?
We ask.
Top concerns. Leave it open.
There's more, but they get smaller.
20 is okay with you.
We can always amend that later. Who is the second to that motion?
I will if nobody else did. I thought
Doug
did.
And all other discussion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item H1, license.
I'm not really comfortable with where we're going with this, and I'm just going to say be careful what you ask for. So you better pay attention to when it's coming back and be prepared to read that old document.
I guess I don't understand the nature of the comment as much as you're the maker of the motion to do it. Okay, let's move on. Item H1, licenses.
I know how things work in the city. Been around for 14 years. That's
Alderman Dandrea.
Well, I'd like to make the motion to approve the following licenses. Operator New, Carrie Kaparski, approved. Operator New, Gordon Groff, approved. Operator New, Cynthia Martinez, hold for appearance. Operator New, Karen Piconi, approved. Operator New, Ordlin Sanders Jr., approved. Sharon Weiss, Operator New, approved. People Uniting for the Betterment of Life and Investment in the Community, public grant for Fleet Reserve Association Branch 14 scholarships, approved. Again, for the same, I'm not going to repeat it, but for Franklin City, it's a grant for the Franklin City Civic Celebrations, approved. Grant for the Franklin Health Department Safety City and Bike Rodeo, approved. The Franklin Historical Society, approved. Franklin Lions Club meeting and fundraisers, approved. Franklin Parks Park Concert, free concert, approved. Franklin Police Department National Night Out kickoff, approved. St. Martin's of Tours fundraiser, approved. VFW Post 10394, Franklin Hales Corners fundraiser, approved. And Xavierian Missionaries Annual Festival, approved.
Second.
Just a comment, Fleet Reserve Association, in my 20 years sitting around here, it's been a rare thing that they've gotten this grant, as I recall. All right, the clerk corrects me. I withdraw that remark. Any comments on this? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Item I-1, is there a motion approving the net general checking account city vouchers ranges 154473 through 154614 in the amount of $767.38 dated November 14th.
So moved.
Second.
Madam Clerk.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Dandridge.
Aye.
The vote is 6-0. Motion carries. Is there a motion approving net payroll dated November 28th in the amount of $357,734.21 and the payments of various payroll deductions in the amount of $410,497.32 plus any matching payments?
So moved.
Second.
Madam Clerk.
Alderman D'Andrea?
Aye.
Alderman Mayer?
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm?
Aye.
Alderman Evans?
Aye.
Alderman Evans?
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt?
Aye.
Alderman Mayer?
Aye.
The vote is 6-0. Motion carries. Is there a motion approving the net payroll dated December the 12th, estimated at $345,000, and payments of various payroll deductions, estimated at $200,000, plus any city matching payments?
So moved. Second.
Madam Clerk.
Alderwoman Mayer?
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt?
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans?
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm?
Aye.
Alderman Mayer?
Aye.
Alderman Davis?
Aye.
The vote is 6-0. Motion carries. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.